Live from the Most High Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Recovery Rundown with James Goodson. Recovery-related news and information delivered to you weekly. It's the Recovery Rundown.
Reprehensible demoralization. We will not regret the past. Shut the door! Shut it! Out!
We're live.
Welcome to Recovery Rundown. I'm James Goodson.
Odds are you're watching this on your phone and you heard about this show on one of our platforms like Facebook or Instagram. And we here at Most High and Recovery Rundown try to keep you informed about all types of addiction and recovery. So we want to touch on an emerging phenomenon that researchers are labeling as social media addiction or tech addiction. Social media users are becoming more and more addicted to social media platforms even as they experience stress from their use. There's a name for that too, it's called technostress. What's happening with Facebook users, for example, is that they are switching from one activity to the next, such as chatting with friends, scanning news feeds, and posting updates as each activity begins to feel stressful. See, they're not logging off, they're simply switching diversions as a coping mechanism for stress caused by the same platform. Now, it seems counterintuitive, right? And it kind of is. See, these social media sites offer a wide range of features to keep the user engaged for as long as possible. So, people who are already prone to addictive behavior can find that these platforms act both as the cause of stress and the distraction from that stress. So, it's a nice little hamster wheel of compulsive activity. The same questions you would ask yourself if you're concerned about your drug or alcohol use, you can apply to your social media use also. For example, do you spend an abnormal amount of time thinking about or planning to use social media? Do you use social media to avoid personal problems? Do you try to reduce screen time without success? Do you use social media so much that it has a negative effect on your job, relationships, or other commitments? If you answered yes to these questions, you may want to look at your social media use, and you might want to consider a social media detox. There are several apps and online tools you can find to help evaluate your social media dependence and assist you if you feel you need to dial it back a bit. So, as the opioid crisis in America continues to escalate and has become a national emergency, methamphetamine, also known as crystal meth, is waiting just around the corner as the next drug epidemic. Some already think it is. Methamphetamine is a highly addictive synthetic drug produced by blending a slew of household chemicals with over-the-counter drugs like pseudoephedrine. It's a common decongestant. Its effects on the body can vary, but it often causes users to stay up for days and even weeks, during which time they can experience wild bouts of hallucinations and paranoia. And don't even get me started on what it does to your appearance. It's garbage. In just 5 years, meth overdoses have more than tripled to about 9,700 per year. Because there's been such an alarming increase in meth use nationwide, many states are shifting their federal opioid funding to focus on the emerging meth problem. Over the last few years, officials are seeing a significant increase in both availability and potency, and a decrease in the street price. So this stuff is more powerful and cheaper than ever. Also, most of the meth we're seeing today has been manufactured and imported from Mexican super labs. The days of the trailer park labs are virtually over. So with this super meth hitting the streets in abundance, the spike in meth-related deaths is even worse than when the opioid crisis began. And the funding for prevention and treatment is a relative drop in the bucket. Since meth use hasn't been declared an emergency, most of the resources and research are poured into the opioid epidemic still. It's affecting the economy too. Factoring in costs such as healthcare and criminal justice, our economy takes about a $40 billion hit every year. Stay tuned, because it's coming to a neighborhood near you. On the last episode of Recovery Rundown, we introduced you to a drug called Kratom. Here's a recap of what we told you. It is easily obtained online, at many smoke shops and gas stations. It's not regulated by the FDA, so there's no way to know how potent any given amount is. Because it is legal and made from a plant, there's a misperception that kratom is safe. Here in the US, kratom is sold as a powder and can be taken in capsules or even brewed into a tea. One of the active substances found in kratom interacts with the receptors in the brain that produce the same addictive effects as opioids. In Thailand, where lots of the kratom come from, it's been illegal to possess or sell kratom for decades. But suddenly this week, the Thai Ministry of Public Health has officially removed kratom from its list of banned substances. According to officials there, kratom leaves do not match the World Health Organization's narcotic definitions. In other words, according to the government of Thailand, those who use kratom can easily stop, and it's an effective and safe pain reliever. This is a dramatic reversal in policy for the country. Up until now, if you were caught in Thailand holding or selling kratom, you could have gone to jail for up to 5 years. Now, just a reminder to you, the viewer, we're working on a kratom documentary here at Most High, and we'll bring you much more information real soon. The FDA has officially changed the minimum age to purchase all tobacco products from 18 to 21. The new minimum age applies to all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes and vaping cartridges. The provision is part of the government's $1.4 trillion spending package, which will soon be signed into law. Even before this legislation, 19 states had already adopted the higher age restriction. The nationwide ban comes with serious concerns about the rising levels of youth vaping and an outbreak of vaping-related lung injuries. Now, while this is widely seen as a positive step to curb youth smoking, many health organizations are calling on the administration to do even more, like banning all flavored e-cigarette products, saying that as long as these exist, kids will find ways to get them and the epidemic will continue. Eating disorders, specifically anorexia, carry the highest death rate of all mental health disorders. This is due in part to the higher than average rate of suicide among those with eating disorders, and partly to the medical complications associated with these disorders. Because eating disorders, just like drug and alcohol addictions, are symptoms of underlying causes, they are frequently linked with other mental health challenges. A National Institute of Mental Health study of about 10,000 people with eating disorders found that as many as 88% also suffered from anxiety, depression, or another behavioral disorder, and suicides or attempted suicides were a common element. Also, people with eating disorders are more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. According to a recent report from Columbia University, as many as 50% of those with an eating disorder also abuse drugs. Looking at it from the other direction, just over one-third of individuals with substance abuse disorder also have an eating disorder. That'll do it for this episode of Recovery Rundown. If you'd like to reach us online, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, or you can go to mosthighshow.com. I'm James Goodson. We'll see you next time on Recovery Rundown. That rhythm.